This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker at Pod Bay 2A in Intergalactic Prairie Studios. I am Mr. Michael Dean, and we got Ms. MK Lords on the other end of the line. Are you there, MK?
Howdy, I am here.
And Derek J couldn't be with us tonight. He has hysterical teenage pregnancy. Are you back, Derek? Are you back from the baby doctor?
Meow.
This is the 600th episode of the Freedom Fiends, so we're partying, and Derek had too much cake, and he's been running to the bathroom, and well, you know, this is not the Howard Stern show, so I'm not going to really go into a lot of description here, but you've had a sick tummy tonight, huh, Derek?
Yeah, it's gurgling, but I'm happy, and I'm here, to party.
Good, good. MK, are you ready to party like it's 1889?
I'm always ready to party.
Which, if you're partying like it's 1889, I think that means, like, you know, morphine and cocaine are freely available at any drugstore. So
I was about to say, pretty wild times.
Yeah.
Choose wild life.
Times. Good times. Good times. So, yeah, Derek wanted to know, you know, like, we're not one of these shows that has call-ins or polls or listens to the listeners or cares what they think or wants feedback from them or even acknowledges that they exist, or I don't even like think about them. I just think I'm hanging out with my friends when I do this show. But we were going to ask, Derek had a technical question. What was your question about should you A if B?
Yeah, I was curious if I am not feeling so well and I need to run to the bathroom, should I do that over the airwaves?
And I said, this is not the Howard Stern show. We don't do that here. And but then MK said, aw, and you said, aw. So I thought
it would be punk rock.
Okay. That's the magic word you had to say to me. So you had to remind me of my misspent youth. And I'm like, yeah, if that happens, go ahead and leave it open. Just don't cuss while you do it. You can vomit all you want. Just don't cuss.
Leaving the gurgles, but no cussing.
Yeah. Yeah. So, let's see, what was I going to add? Oh, yeah. I was telling you that I had the most punk rock vomiting story ever. And you were skeptical, weren't you, Derek?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I have a pretty good imagination, but I'm wondering, like, did you vomit into a microphone? I mean, was it onto an audience? What happened here?
It wasn't me. It was, some of it got onto me, but it was, MK, can you turn up a little bit or get a little louder? Or can you turn her up there a little, Derek, she's loud during the sound check and then gets meek or something. I don't know. Are you meek? You're not meek.
No, not really.
All right. So I was in this punk rock band called Bomb, and everyone's heard about Bomb. I mean, nobody's heard of Bomb, but everyone who listens to this show is sick of hearing of Bomb. People heard of Bomb, but most of the people that have heard of Bomb are dead. The people that listen to this show are like, yeah, we know you're in a band, but this is pretty cool. And so you ever heard of a little rock and roll club called CBGBs, you guys?
Yeah.
No.
Derek said no. Really?
Yeah.
Derek said no. Well, MK, you've heard of CBGBs, right? Do you ever go there?
I have.
Yeah? Tell us about CBGBs.
I never made it there, no. No, I never made it there. But yeah, classic kind of punk rock place.
Yeah, it was a historic punk rock place. Like, literally, if it wasn't a Gap or a, you know, Baskin Robbins ice cream on the same location where it used to be right now, which I think it is. Actually, I think it's Lofts. I think they kicked him out and had Lofts instead. But CBGB's was a club in the Bowery in New York City, which is, you know, I mean, the Bowery has been, you know, since the 20s, it's been the, oh, don't go down to the Bowery, you'll get, you know, a Puerto Rican, it'll put a knife to your throat, you know, and like, literally, I had a Puerto Rican put a knife to my throat while trying to score heroin in the Bowery one time, not far from CBGB's.
Not consensual, I'm imagining.
it was not DS knife play with contracts ahead of time at all, but yeah, it's a dangerous neighborhood, and there was this club called CBGB's Ohm Fug, and you can say that on the radio. It's OMFUG. The full name of the place was Country Bluegrass and Blues and Other Music for Undergraduates. And that was the name of the club and the kind of music they had there in the 50s and early 60s. And in the 70s, that kind of music wasn't that popular in the Bowery anymore. So, you know, the place was about to go out of business. And one day, like, somebody stumbled in there. I forget if it was someone from the Ramones or someone from Blondie or someone from Television or someone from the Talking Heads. It was one of those bands. Somebody went in there and said, hey, let us play here for free on a Tuesday night. I'll get some bands and we'll charge $1 at the door and the bands will keep the money and then you'll sell lots of drinks. And, you know, the guy, Hilly Crystal, who I know, who looked around at the empty club on a Tuesday night and said, yeah, man, sure, whatever. And they did that. And like the New York City American punk scene was born in the, you know, about 1975, 76. And
whoa.
Suddenly this became like the it place. And it was the it place for punk rock. Like, not only 7 nights a week, but like 7 nights a week plus like 2, you know, matinee shows on the weekends in the day. Like, they had like 9 shows a week with like 5 bands a show for like 20 some years. And like, it's so legendary that, like, you know, schoolgirls in Japan wear t-shirts that say CBGBs and don't know what it means. But it was ground zero for punk rock in America. So in 1987 or 1988, I'm playing with my band Bomb at CBGB's. And we go out to get some, the drummer and I go out to score some heroin before the show. And, I mean, you have to understand this place. It's
they didn't
like,
have vending machines
they
yet.
Did not, but you know, the bartender may have sold it, but, we didn't know him. So it was a rough and tumble place. And, you know, no one was there to see us. It was like the first time we played there, second time we went on tour. We had to like beg for the opening slot. We were opening for Richie Stotts band. Richie Stotts was the guitar player in the Plasmatics. You familiar with them, MK? That was the band with Wendy O. Williams,
vaguely,
who was
yeah.
A porn mm-hmm. star who was the lead singer and also used a chainsaw on stage in part
yeah,
of her
she
act.
Would like break a bunch of stuff and chainsaw a bunch of stuff. Okay, yeah. What you're talking about.
Okay,
yeah.
So the guitar player in that band, she was what? What?
That just sounds very hardcore.
It was very hardcore. So
super hardcore.
Yeah, so the guitar player in that band, Richie Stotts, who was like 6'7" and really skinny and wore a nurse's outfit with a really short skirt on stage and had a purple mohawk and just looked really bizarre. His solo band, Stotts or whatever it was called, was playing headlining, and we were like maybe second out of 5th bands. Like, we were almost in last place on that bill. But so we played, we were about to play, we went out, scored some heroin, came back in. The two guitar players in the band hated us for doing heroin. We always had to sneak around them. So we went out to get some heroin, we came back, and Joey Ramone is there. Like, and he's not there to see us, he's there to see Richie Stotts. But I'm like, oh my god, that is Joey Ramone, and he's about to see my band play. So we'd done some heroin and we start playing, and we're playing this song called Vagrant Vampires, which has a really complicated, not complicated, but a really hard to play repetitive drum beat. It's almost like a drum machine, really fast. And and then we're starting the song, and I'm playing the bass, and I look over, and my drummer is still playing this drum beat without missing a beat on this really hard beat. And he leans over and throws up on the stage of CBGB's without missing a beat. He keeps playing. That's punk rock, man.
That is so punk rock.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is better than I imagined.
Yeah.
Holy cow. And good for him for not missing a beat on that.
I know. That was the punkest thing about it, was that he kept playing and he didn't mess anything up. But
yeah, he wasn't like, pro. Oh, sorry, guys. Oh, hold on. Let's just start over. Sorry.
Yeah. You know,
no, he just went on with it.
The show
it.
Must go on.
It must. And, you know, it just hit me while I was retelling that. I've told it before, but I've never considered this aspect of it. Like, heroin generally makes people throw up. But it's not like when you're, you know, have hysterical pregnancy like you do or food poisoning, but it's more like burping when you drink a beer. It's like, oh, whatever. It's part of the thing. You know, you don't really feel it much and it doesn't bother you much. But, it was, you know, Tony kind of introduced me to drugs and to hard drugs, and, God bless him. No, I'm kidding. So, but here's what I'm thinking. Like, he was kind of like my big brother in a bad way. Like, I was Beaver Cleaver and he was like Tony Haskell. You know, he was my bad influence for that whole part of my life. And I really looked up to him, and he was like a bat. You know, he was tough. He was like, wore a leather jacket, rode a motorcycle, didn't take guff from nobody. And I just moved there from Virginia and I was a hayseed. And like, The thing that I never thought about this, like I've seen him, Tony, throw up before shooting dope, but I, you know, not every time. And he never would act starstruck. Like he wouldn't, you know, admit it. But I wonder if he threw up partially because his hero, Joey Ramone, was in the audience because he was nervous.
Oh, that had to have an effect on him. He knew he was there too, right? You both eyeballed him. Oh, and were Tony, like, pointed him,
Tony pointed him out to me. We walked in. He's like, Michael, he like took me aside, like a hug, a hug whisper. And he's like, dude, that's Joey Ramone. Yeah.
It was, what was it first that tipped you off about him? Because he's Joey's got that noticeable hair, right?
He's also like 6'7". He's really tall and skinny. And, you know, there's probably a lot of people that hang out at CBGB's that look like Joey Ramone. But it was also, you know, the guy was like 50 and creepy looking. And there was a crowd of like hot chicks around him, too. So that kind of tipped me off.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And I could see the nerves from that because I often get really nervous before I have to speak or when I would do theater too. Before I can't eat or anything. Like I have to have a completely empty stomach. And afterwards too, I'll feel a little bit weird. But that's never happened to me on stage, thankfully. You know, yeah. I'll be nervous while I'm up there sometimes, but I've never gotten that nervous. But I can definitely see it can affect some people.
I was afraid your story was going to induce vomiting in me because I already started off nauseated, but it actually cured me.
Good.
I feel 100% better.
It's the healing power of that. The heens. Fiends, put your hand on the radio, brothers and sisters.
I can feel it.
What is your malady?
What is
your malady, young man? What is your name? Derek, put your hands on the radio and you will be healed of your nausea. Yeah.
Oh.
Amen.
No, man. I think a lot of people want to make people sick, but I want to make people healthy. I want to make people happy. And, you know, I don't claim to have any miracle, mystical healing powers, but, you know, laughter is good medicine. It's not the best medicine. The best medicine is medicine, but, you know, laughter is pretty good medicine.
It's the only replacement. Well,
yep.
Were you able to carry guns in New York at that time? Like when you were in this place?
But we were hanging out with guys who were anyway. We were hanging out with these guys, Matt and Mark Anger. One of them died of cancer later, but basically they were guys that we met in Oklahoma on our first tour, and they were brilliant painters, and they were kind of like psychedelic cowboy rednecks, and we were like, you need to move to New York City. And then the next time we went to New York City, they'd done it because we told them to. It was weird, man. And then they kind of took over the New York underground art scene. Yeah, there's videos. There's video of them on YouTube making art with guns and doing art shows in New York that contained guns that were not deactivated.
Awesome. Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Hey, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. I've been working with computer programmer Derek Slopey to create Fiend Phone. I'm using Fiend Phone right now to talk with and record one of my co-hosts in real time. Take it, Davi.
Hey, this is Davi Barker, and I'm 1,000 miles away from Michael, but we sound like we're in the same room.
We sure do, Davi. So, Davi, please tell the nice people more about Fiend Phone.
Fiend Phone is free, open-source software that opens up a global world of possibilities for collaborative, high-quality remote voice media production, and I'm digging it.
People can try the Windows beta version of Fiend Phone right now at fiendphone.com. But we're also raising money to vastly improve Fiend Phone and vastly improve independent talk media worldwide.
So go to fiendphone.com and join the conversation, because if you don't, you'll set liberty back 2,500 years.
That's fiendphone.com. FENPHONE.com. Foxtrot, Echo, November, phone.com.
Fiend Phone. I never knew remote audio could be this good.
There. A second. Hold on.
We're on the air.
No.
Yeah, we're on the air. Yep.
Meow.
Yep, we're on the air. Freedom Fiends with Derek J. and myself, Michael W. Dean, and MK Lords. And Derek, hi. The healing power of the fiends have healed Derek J. of his sour tummy. Is it 100% or how you feeling there, Derek?
I'm telling you, yeah, the meter is 100%. I am here. It's surpassed. I'm at 110% because I'm doing the fiends right now.
Okay.
It's the healing power of the fiends is that good.
I think the healing power of radio. And after this segment, next segment, maybe you have an announcement about radio, don't you?
Sure do.
Yep. All right. So what do we got, MK? What did that Florida man do?
Oh, man. Florida man tackles Florida man in Florida Walmart. that's not the headline. But this actually happened. So this guy was legally carrying a gun, and another man decided to enact some vigilante justice on him and tackled him as he entered the Walmart because he was concerned. He was yelling, "This man has a gun. He's got a gun. He's got a gun."
Yeah. Well, he saw him. Very he bad saw decision. The, he saw the guy in the parking lot get out of his car and take his gun from his car and put it in his holster and conceal it. And I guess, you know, like, when I first saw the headline, I thought it was like, you know, guy was open carrying, you know, as a political statement, and some loon like tackled him, you know, you can't make that statement. But no, it was, he thought this guy was going to go do something violent because idiots don't know that you can conceal carry a gun legally. And, you know, it's kind of uncomfortable to sit down wearing a holstered gun. Would you guys say in a car?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, totally. I've taken mine off driving before because I carry most every day, and it can be really uncomfortable. So sometimes you want to take it out when you're driving.
Yeah, and you guys are skinny. I'm not skinny. The less skinny you are, the more uncomfortable it is to wear a holstered gun on your belt in your car. So yeah, I always have it in the glove. In my state, in the state in which I reside, Wyoming. There's pretty much no limit on carry, like concealed or unconcealed, if you're not a forbidden person. And my wife likes to drive a lot more than I do. And so she drives and I sit in the passenger seat, and I usually have my gun in the open glove compartment in front of me. And that's complete.
By open, you mean, do you just leave it open or is it not locked?
It's open. Like one time we got pulled over for a traffic ticket, and the guy said, for speeding, and the cop said, license and registration, please. And my wife went to pull out her license, and I said, "Officer, before I pull the registration out of the glove box, I wanted to point out that, you know, because you don't want to just reach where there's a gun in front of a cop, they'll shoot you."
Right.
And he said, "Oh, I see the gun. Just please give me the registration." And then he let us off. Then he let us off with a warning and didn't give us a ticket and said, "Have a nice, it's a really nice day. I'd hate to see you get in an accident," which is
what another world. That's in Wyoming.
I can't imagine that.
Which
Florida.
Is probably kind of how it would be in a libertarian paradise on a private road. You know, they would pull you over for going too fast and say, "Please drive safely. I like you."
Commend this guy.
Yeah.
What? Which guy? The cop who pulled over Michael?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's interesting, too. But this guy in the article who was armed and got tackled by this other guy, I mean, they struggled for a while and eventually were separated. But he didn't shoot him. He didn't, you know, pull a gun on him. If you recall, Florida is where the George Zimmerman, Trayvon Martin thing went down. And, you know, he got a lot of criticism for that because it's a stand your ground state. And he could have stood his ground and drawn on him, but he opted to not go that way. And I wanted to say that carrying regularly makes me want to avoid conflicts. You know, I'm not prone to pulling out my weapon. In fact, I'm more conscious that it's there, and I it's a very last resort, and I never want to use it. So for being tackled by someone and, you know, someone beating you up and all this, I mean, he exercised great restraint, and I think that's great for someone who's carrying a gun.
But he allegedly yelled, "I have a permit! I have a permit!" And I'm like, couldn't you have yelled something better? Like, "It's okay! Like, I'm not crazy!" Or
is like, Ian Freeman laughing in the background?
Yes,
is that what I heard? I want to say, okay, I want to say it now that like it hasn't messed up or anything all the way through the show so far. We're doing something we've never done. We're connecting to LRN with all three of us on Fiendphone. It's a test. We've never done this before, and it seems to be passing the test. And I want to say that I heard Ian Freeman laughing in the background in the room where Derek is in the LRN studio. I would not have heard that on Skype because Skype has like noise reduction and all these things that, you know, squish it down so you can use it without headphones, and it's really not made for pro audio. But you hear
every
nuance.
I'm amazed that you heard it at all. I mean, you wouldn't have heard that on Free Talk Live.
No.
Because the mics are really sensitive to this room. I mean, he's in another room.
Yeah, man. We built it for this kind
of
stuff.
Holy cow.
Yep. Worms.
Wow.
We'll be back with more about Florida Man after this trip to the Walmart. Worms.
Meow.
Listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Now that the elections are over and liberty has slipped even further away, it's time to try yet another political organization. Campaign for a Longer Leash is a nonpartisan group of pups and dogs dedicated to fighting for longer leashes for all. We're not talking about no leashes, that would be catarchy. We just want the limited leash that the Hounding Fathers promised us. As Bone Barklin once said, a longer leash if you can keep it, ma'am. For more info, go to facebook.com/campaignforalongerleash.
Meow, meow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
Meow.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay.
Meow.
All right.
Meow.
Yeah. Do it, man. Do it, yeah.
Meow.
Do it, Derek. Do it.
Meow.
Come on, Megan, do it. Yeah.
Meow.
Yeah.
Meow.
Yeah, it's pretty soulful. Yeah, man.
Whoa.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, it is. Oh, I have the biggest announcement of all. We've buried the lead here. This is the 600th episode of the Freedom Fiends. Did we mention
Woo!
That? Did we say that at all? I can't remember.
Woo!
Yeah!
Yeah, Derek.
Go Fiend!
Derek was partying pretty hard and ate too much cake, and now he's feeling better. But he was not smoking weed, and he has an announcement that coincides with him not smoking weed. Before we get back to Florida Man, tackles Florida Man. All right, so go ahead, man. What do you got to tell people?
Yeah, so I got a mixed blessing for the people. You're right, Michael. It started out that out of nowhere, I just stopped consuming cannabis. I consumed it pretty regularly. And then when I was at the Ross Ulbricht trial, I lost a bunch of cannabis and just decided I'm not going to go and get some more. And I used to use it as a sleep aid before I fell asleep at night. And one of the things that changed about my life after that happened was I started remembering dreams. Whereas I never really did before. And one of the dreams I had recently scared me to death. I woke up in one of those cold sweats. It was the radio equivalent of the
naked in school.
You're going to school in your underwear or completely naked dream. So here's what happened. I was out at a party at a beach house with a couple of friends of mine. And it was a real house from my memory. But we were about to go. I'm looking at the clock like, we should hit it. It's 12:55 a.m. Oh, wait, it's time to host Freedom Fiends. And what's weird is, like, I knew consciously in this dream that this is not the right night for me to host Freedom Fiends. It's not even on air at this time on Saturdays. So, but I did it anyway. I got ready. I ran over to the family like, hey, do you guys have some kind of laptop or computer I can use? I got a broadcast. I got to do it now. And got on their crappy little netbook that I was like, oh no, this isn't going to work. I mean, this barely even, what is this?
I got to interject running? Though. I've actually tried Fiend Phone with this $50 mic and a pair of headphones and a crappy little netbook book, and it works great. So you could
my
do that.
My fears are assuaged.
Yeah. Go on.
Well, so it did work in the dream as well. I wasn't using Fiend Phone. I was using Skype. So I had to download Skype on this little computer.
Gosh.
I signed on, and I didn't even know who was co-hosting. Thank goodness, Nikki Darling just bing, she pops up, and she's like, here I am. We're going to do the show. We're ready to go. And I'm like, okay, what kind of microphone am I going to use? I grabbed this, like, broken-in-half headset. It was seriously, it was terrifying. You know, like, you know those headsets that people wear for gaming and stuff, and
yeah.
It's got a little crappy microphone on it? Well, it was broken. Like, someone just snapped the microphone off, and I'm talking into this little broken headset. I've got my own earbuds in, and on comes the intro music. We connect. I start meow, 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 you know, doing the same stuff that I would do on the show. We do a whole segment. I don't remember the show topics. We do two segments. And my friends are like, look, Derek, you're really pushing it. We got to go, you know, and we're stuck in this house. You're our ride. Just ditch this thing. I'm like, all right, I gotta help out my friends. Bring them to the sandwich shop, because I'm like, well, we got 5 minutes. You know, I'll run over. We'll get sandwiches. They'll be happy for a few hours, and we'll get on with the show. Well, they're taking forever, and I get back. You know that fear in those dreams where it's like something's going on, and you have to get back, but you just can't get there. So
yeah,
that's
yeah.
the situation. You know, I'm in my car. I know Freedom Fiends is coming back on. I'm supposed to be there to meow into the microphone, and I'm not there. So I run back and put my headset on, and Pink Floyd is playing.
And that's how you should
I'm
have
like,
known it was
what?
A dream, because if it was really GCN, there would be like that kind of like funky porno music playing when there's no show, like waka 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 waka. They have one song they play when there's not a show.
There's a lot of things that should have set me off, but you know, meanwhile, I come back and I'm kicking everyone out of the living room or whatever. I'm in like some family's living room broadcasting, saying, and they're trying to like grab snacks and eat and do their thing, and I'm like, get out of here, you know, I'm trying to do a show. And, you know, finally I call up Michael, say, you know, hey, I'm sorry I'm late. He says, oh, it's no problem. You want to go back on? I'm like, no, I got to get out of here. I'm, you know, I'm at the beach. My friends are tired. Let me go home. And I don't know what happened after that. I woke up in a cold sweat like, oh, did I just miss Freedom Fiends? Did I? What? And it ruined something for me a little bit. But it also, it gave me an indication about where I should go in life. Because I've been doing a show called Peace News for 2 years, over 2 years, and I started in Adam Kokesh's basement.
Didn't we all start in Adam Kokesh's basement? I think he clones us. I think he clones us down there. No, I'm kidding.
It's true that that's where it really began. And
doesn't he still owe you? Doesn't he still owe you 24 Bitcoin or something?
Yeah, something like that. But I've written it off. I don't care.
Okay.
You know, you just move on in life, and so I did this show. I loved it. It became twice a week live. It was on LRN.fm, and it was the realization of a dream in a lot of ways. But since that time, since the creation of Peace News, there have been two great news programs created by liberty lovers. Daryl W. Perry does a show at fpp.cc, and The Liberty Beat does a great show at thelibertybeat.com. And now that niche is really filled. But there's another show that has disappeared in that time called Flaming Freedom, and that's where I got my radio start. So I am going to pick up the torch of Flaming Freedom and carry it on onto the airwaves. So I'm very happy that's to awesome announce the conclusion of one show, Peace News, and the reuniting of the cast of Flaming Freedom. We'll be back to bring you gay news.
Gay news now.
It's going to be gay and fun. Yeah. Yeah. You know, there's no one doing a gay show for Liberty. Yeah. And that's a shame because they're, you know, we're a portion of the population, and it's a way to attract people who like are asking for more government. Like, hey, can we have permission to get married? Like, maybe you shouldn't care about that. Or
yeah,
I don't know.
I was saying something to you before the show that is worth restating was like, I made some joke about like, you know, the other night I said something between, I didn't say it on the air. I guess I'll be saying it on the air now, but I said something like, you know, I said, I'm pretty much straight, but you know, and we're talking about you. And I was like, well, you know, if I had some beer in me, I'd wreck that girl. And, but I don't drink. Is Ian laughing?
Yeah. Ian is laughing.
That's awesome.
And I'm so flattered by that. Yeah. I don't know if people would take, how they would take that.
I was really just trying to get, to get MK Lords and Davy Barker to spit their coffee through their nose. That was a plan, and it didn't quite
work.
Had
I had coffee, I would have spit it out. No, I was laughing so hard.
Yeah, but
the fact is, I'm a store manager at a libertarian-owned thrift store here in Keene, New Hampshire, and I play the Freedom Fiends while I'm at work. So sometimes customers will hear what you guys are talking about, and they're fortunately, were no customers in the store at the time when you made that announcement. And but I was laughing so loud, I think they heard me at the police department.
Yeah, and they marked it down on your permanent record. Because isn't that why they took away your right to get a gun permit, because you laughed in court?
That's true. That's a fact. Yeah, they say I didn't take court seriously because I was cracking up at their stories. So
they're so silly. I'm sure they write down whenever you laugh and it goes into your permanent record. But yeah, and I was saying that, you know, we were talking about that before the show, that I said that the other day on the podcast. It didn't go out on air. It was on the, we've been taping some of the pre, you know, doing the Ernie Hancock thing, like taping, not all of it like him, but some of the ad breaks, the between show banter behind the fiends. And I was like, I wonder if anybody's going to say I'm being misogynist for saying that to Derek J. And you're like, nah, man, it's a, you know, and I was thinking, like, it's kind of funny that people who are straight, who are liberals, or so generally liberals, are so PC about gay issues, about like, oh, you can't say faggot and things like that. Because I lived in San Francisco 16 years, and I had roommates and friends and bandmates and bosses and employees and coworkers that were gay. I was soaking in it, you know? And I gotta say, like, the most un-PC I've ever met are people I've ever met are like San Francisco homos. They are just they're just unpolitically correct, man. They will make jokes that would make you know, the average Obama supporter just like their jaw drop, you know.
I believe it. You know, I think part of it is the word faggot is used as a term of endearment in a lot of gay circles.
Yeah. And, you know, mm-hmm. there is actually a lot of guys calling each other honey and, you know, her and, oh, that girl. And like also using faggot in a derogatory sense, because most of the gay guys that I was around were kind of rough trade. They were like tough kind of biker kind of guys. And like, you know, if they didn't go to bars with disco, they went to bars where they played like AC/DC and Led Zeppelin. And like, you know, people actually had sex on the pool table after hours and, you know, in the bathrooms during hours. And, you know, those, if they would call someone a faggot or a sissy when they're acting a way they didn't like, you know, it was kind of like an insult. They would use it like that.
Mm-hmm. Louis C.K. has a bit about that.
Yeah,
actually. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, that's been my experience, too. All of my gay friends have been really un-PC. And it's really bothersome to see how the left gets offended on behalf of other people.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like they say that everyone needs to feel as offended as they are about something when the people that they think it's insulting may not actually care that much, or they may, you know, yeah. I think they've got, you know, more important things to worry about.
Yeah. Really, how dare you try and protect my delicate sensibilities?
Right. I mean, that's insulting, right?
Yeah,
like,
is.
I don't like it when people say, oh, don't cuss because there's a woman in the room. Like, that, what? Like, it's insulting and patronizing.
You think you know, but you have no idea.
Yeah, right. They don't know. We are going to talk about guns and net neutrality later in the show. And I do want to say, if you're hearing a dropout here and there, Ian Freeman says it's the internet on his end in Keene, New Hampshire tonight. And,
that's true.
Yeah.
I'm monitoring it, but there haven't been any in this segment, so it's been great.
Yep.
You know, a story about guns. You had a great one about, you know, getting pulled over and the cop being totally cool about it. So my first experience open carrying was when I moved to New Hampshire, and I was so excited that I had this freedom. I had to go exercise it. So I strapped a gun to my hip and walked all around town, and no one cared. That was pretty cool because, you know, I expected some kind of reaction or some glances, and nobody batted an eye. It was, and even the
same
police.
Here. Same here. It was
several times I've been arrested. The police don't even care that I'm armed.
I stopped open carrying partially because, partially because I got a permit, and people are going to say that's square, but I had to live here 6 months in Wyoming. I had to live here 6 months to get a permit, and you know, we were approved, no problem. They were renewed 5 years later, no problem. But it was like, you know, it was also kind of like, it's more effort to open carry because you have to have more situational awareness, you know, because someone could grab
it, or
absolutely. A kid could come up and touch it, play like, is that real, mister? I've had that almost happen. Yeah, man, we'll be back.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Hey, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends.
Can everybody hit their cuss dump? I mean, their buff dump. Sorry.
Yes.
Boom.
Is there one for me?
No, you only have them for other people.
Okay.
We have them for you.
Oh, I see. I see.
I have them for you. MK has them for you.
Got it.
I'm going to step away. Oh, well, what are we talking about when we come back?
The net neutrality thing, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. What's the story on that, Ian? Is the government giving the people of New Hampshire the option of fiber somehow?
Get Ian on here for a segment. It's the 600th episode of the Freedom Fiends. Derek?
Yeah, let's see. I'm looking up some
Hello.
Hey, Ian. You going to come on for a segment?
Hey! Congratulations.
Thanks, man.
Woo!
Thanks.
Yeah. No, that's not really related to net neutrality, but yes, the government
is. Yes, it is, in my opinion.
Because they could stop us. They could start charging for like extra money for vote. No, I don't know what they could do, but it's a big
swindle. I see it as all
swindle.
Part of the same thing. The government was like, hey, we created the internet for ourselves, and then a bunch of other people started using it for freedom purposes, and we need to find some way to close that down.
Yeah, we'll say that. I'll be right back.
Well, I gotta say, if I was living in the woods and the only option was the government internet, I'd probably take it.
Well, I'm not saying I'm against it. I'm just saying the way I see it, this is a play on the people in power to say, how can I control the internet? Because I can't control it right now. How can I control it? By offering a service that people are going to want, that I'm the only people to provide it.
Well, the good news is the government is just, like, I guess, involved in financing. So it's probably some kind of semi-governmental corporation, you know, like a development corporation or whatever.
It's going to be fascist like everything else.
And there are four or five different companies that provide service over the line. So technically there are private companies involved in selling the actual service.
But they have to give blowjobs to government.
It's true. But you can get fiber in Ringe, New Hampshire, from what I understand. So.
I'm jealous.
I'm going to grab a drink.
Ringe?
Now, is this like a new bill that passed in New Hampshire or something? I'm trying to find out more on this net neutrality thing.
Oh, no, there's like nothing like that in New Hampshire. No, no. What Derek's referring to is something called New Hampshire Fast Roads. That's what you want to look for.
Oh, okay.
I'm looking it up now.
Super fast fiber optic broadband. Now available in Ringe. Can't make a website, though.
Yeah, Escambia County just made private trash pickup services illegal, and now everything has to go through the county.
It's all private up here.
It was private, and then they basically were like, no, you guys can't do that anymore. The county's taking over. And they were totally unprepared for it. I mean, not surprisingly. And it's just a total wreck. Yeah, this happened all before Christmas too. So like a bunch of people got laid off, and it's just terrible.
It was always government run down in Sarasota County.
Yeah. Uh huh.
Yeah.
Ian, you want to come on for a couple segments?
I'll come on for a little bit. Sure.
Cool, man.
Woo!
Hey, I qualify as a Florida man.
I know.
Yeah, that's right.
My dad.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most of our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Maine.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we're back. Yeah. It's the Freedom Fiends, episode 600. And you know, when it's a party and a celebration, you got to invite Ian Freeman, Florida man, Ian Freeman. How are you, Florida man?
Hey, man, doing great. Good to be here.
Are you a Florida man?
Technically.
Yeah.
That's where I was pushed out of my mother's womb.
Sarasota,
Florida.
I'm a New Yorker, if we're going to go that way. And although the interesting thing is, I was conceived in New Jersey, which is kind of weird. Which is like,
oh, my mom's from New Jersey. My dad's from New Hampshire.
Yeah. Yeah. So net neutrality, Ian, how do you feel about it?
Terrible idea. Let's not put the government in charge of the internet.
Know,
that sounds
man.
Like a horrible idea. And what a shame that so many libertarians seem to be confused by this.
Not only libertarians, which I've been listening to Free Talk Live a bunch lately, and I've been hearing people call in and be apologists for the state by saying net neutrality will help us, but also tech people. You know, like, I think Google finally changed their mind on it and are against it now. But like, I know a bunch of computer programmers, not any I'm working with, but like, programmers, system administrators, people who understand the internet as other than something with, you know, shiny pictures that you click on, are for it. And it's just, it's a big government plot to control things more under the guise of giving you more freedom. And it's not that at all. And you know, it's not that at all, because the guy who's pushing it, who's the head of the FCC right now, Tom, whatever, who is, was appointed by Obama and helped Obama raise a lot of money for his campaign, has actually, like, you know, it's come out that he's cut deals with all the telecoms, basically saying you won't really have to do much of this. So why would they push through a law that they're not going to make people, you know, the companies that it's supposed to affect, abide by, other than to put through more controls? That's what I think.
Sure. Yeah. More power.
Yep. Yeah.
It also sounds totally socialist, like right off the bat, because the way people describe it, they're like, well, see, the problem is there are some websites that want to give you faster service. But see, the internet should all be the same. All websites should be exactly the same speed and it's fit terrible. For everybody. And I'm like, well, that sounds like socialism to me. I want options and choices yeah. and speeds.
And the right, thing
like
about,
if Burger King is faster, then they're going to get more business than maybe McDonald's would.
Right? And the thing about socialism, you know, anybody, socialism sounds good to 5-year-olds or people who have not really progressed in their understanding of the world since they were 5. You know, oh, everything should be fair. You have to bring enough for the whole class. But really, you know, what socialism comes down to is you don't make everyone the same by bringing the bottom people up so much as you do by bringing the other people down. And it's not good for anybody, man. It's really, really a bad system. And, you know, talk to, I mean,
sure, just look at Venezuela.
Yeah. Tell us about Venezuela for those who don't know, Ian.
Oh, wow. Well, I mean, I've never actually been there, so I can only go by what I've read. And it's a pretty amazing situation. Just that we're really just experiencing from the outside, at least in our case, what some of the ravages of socialism are. I mean, it's not to say these things aren't happening in other countries, but Venezuela is getting the news coverage where there are shortages of basic items such as
toilet paper. If you like your toilet paper, you can keep it. That's the kind of lie they tell you socialism in. Yeah.
Well, yeah, this happened in Detroit. They ran out of toilet paper. Yeah. The city offices.
Detroit is running out of internets, too. Of the 12 people I do shows with, the only one with really, really bad internet is Lou because he's in Detroit.
Hey, why don't you move to Detroit and free Detroit? Whatever happened to that one?
I don't think he really wanted people to move there. I think it was kind of a joke. I could be wrong.
You think the Free Detroit thing was a joke?
Well, I think Lou pushing it was. It wasn't his idea.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. Although there are people who've done a bunch of, you know, who live there already anyway, who've kind of done a lot of urban gardening and, you know, kind of like taking care of things that the infrastructure of the city no longer does. Then they're doing a good job with that for what they can. But, yeah.
I dig that stuff. The Michigan Urban Farming Initiative, something yeah. like that. But that's so cool because, you know, there's always going to be people who just won't move to a place of more freedom. And the people who are going to farm in an urban environment and feed their neighbors, they're doing a great thing.
Yeah. But I mean, the only thing that's probably freer about things there is that you could probably, if you want to buy a house for $2,000, go to Detroit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
$100.
Although you might buy it and fix it up and make it real nice. And then the city will say, all right, we're going to take this now.
Worms.
Beep. You stay around for this next segment, Ian?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Cool, man. For episode 600 of the Freedom Fiends with Michael W. Dean, Ian Freeman, Derek J. Freeman, and MK Freeman, MK Lords. Yep. I'm Michael Freeman. I'm Michael Fiend.
Welcome to the family.
Fiendman.
Yay.
Welcome. One of us. One of us. Liberty, one of us. Yeah.
Hey, there's some Squizzcar Squiggles from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedom's Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now, so there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech as hate speech, guns and weed,
buy sheep for sheep on sheep,
and 2 designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Yeah.
People like the between banter. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. No, so when I was in like 5th or 6th grade, I experimented with lucid dreaming. I wanted to see if I could fly around. And I got okay at it where I would recognize that I was in a dream. I wasn't always able to have enough I wasn't always able to fly or something. You know, it's weird that there are still certain limitations. Like, oh, I know I'm dreaming. Shouldn't I be able to do anything I want? But it took practice. Mm. And part of that's like journaling. And you have to remember your dreams if you're going to get good at lucid dreaming, so that you can remember signals of like things that happen a lot that will tip you off. And so I'm hoping maybe I could get good at that. The key about lucid dreaming, the reason I wanted to learn it was because if life, the way I experience it in the waking world, is just a projection of my mind, well, like dreaming is that, but with more control, I can control more of it. So if I can practice what I want to do in real life in my dreams, well, I could be like a god in real life. That's my goal.
There you go.
Okay.
Well, yeah, my dreams a lot of times reflect what kind of stresses I'm going through. Like the worst period right before I quit serving tables, I would have nightmares of working doubles every night before I worked a double. So I'd work a double like 3 or 4 times dreams. A week. And working dreams. And they would be like the most horrific, like everything going wrong. Like you're running around naked, cooking all of your own food, like and serving tables dreams for hours. And they would last for, you know, it felt like it was the whole... You know, I was there for hours and I'd wake up and have to go into work. And it's like, I think I need to find a different job.
Or probably the most disturbing.
Something different.
I don't have nightmares, really. But the most disturbing dreams I have are the ones where my teeth fall out. Man, that's so weird.
Oh, I hate so those.
Weird.
You have those?
What? Yeah.
I'm so weird about my teeth.
Push on your teeth and they fall out. And,
it freaks me out.
That's really scary. Does that mean something? I got to look that up.
I don't know, but I've had them for a long time.
Well, I had braces for a long time, and I was always really paranoid about my teeth anyway, and I think it kind of comes from that, at least my dreams.
I never had braces. I have great teeth, and I've always had
great
teeth.
What's that Bruce Willis movie where he pulls a tooth out with pliers because there's a tracking device in it?
Oh, 12 Monkeys.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Does that disturb you people with the teeth dreams?
It freaked me out when I saw it. Yeah.
No. Wow. Teeth falling out. Now. I just looked this up. One of the 5 most common recurring dreams.
Wow.
I've never had this before.
Yeah, I've heard of it before.
Oh, you're in trouble now.
What are the other ones besides naked at school? What are the other ones besides naked? Well, should we go through this list? I like to talk about dreams.
Go through it on the air.
Yeah. Let's do that, man. Lists are good. Free Talk Live lives on lists.
I wish we did. We don't do them that often.
Well, you never get through them all either because you take calls.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right.
Ben Stone and I are doing a 36-part series. Have you heard about this?
Yeah, it's awesome.
Based on a list. We're taking the 12 steps of AA, 12 traditions of AA, and 12 concepts of world service of AA, and doing one show each, applying those steps to statism and bad people instead of alcohol.
That's cool.
Oh, cool.
Good to hear Ben's doing some stuff.
Interesting.
Yep. Yeah, Ben's having health problems and brain problems, so we're trying to get as much of him recorded as possible. Mm. And he's open about it. He's talked about it on the show. I have to stay up all night and record him at like 8 in the morning my time when he's been up for like an hour, because he starts to fade after being up a few hours to where he's not as great as he used to be on air.
Don't you normally stay up late like that?
Yeah, but I'm usually not in shape to do a show at that point. I have to drink extra coffee and wreck my day to do it. You know, I'm usually falling asleep then. I'm suffering for his art. I'm willing. I love Ben.
I do too. Thanks for recording him.
Yeah.
Ben's a cool
the
guy.
Show from yesterday was awesome about AA. I was wondering if we were going to continue that theme, but I'm glad we're celebrating, taking a break from AA.
Well, he and I are going to continue that theme. That's going to be like a...
Good.
I think you just missed this. It's a 36-part series that Ben and I are doing. Yeah.
Yes. Yes, I follow.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Libertarian Thrift Store was listening to your AA talk today.
I got a tip for you about not doing drugs. Don't tell people you stop. Just have them notice and go, hey, well, something's different.
No one's going to notice.
Okay.
There's no change. Here we go.
That's good. Yep,
I didn't notice.
Call. That's brightsidebed.com.
Because you're high.
Today.
True.
This is the Freedom Fiends broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless cat house. I am Michael W. Dean, and I'm talking to... I'm trying to hit buff dumps here, and the cats are out of the bag. All right, I hit the buff dumps. All right, so, yeah, man. We're talking with Ian Freeman, Are you a celebritarian, or are you just under the threshold for that, Ian?
You know, I really wish I wasn't, but I don't know, I guess.
Okay.
So you're in all the pictures when people Google celebritarian.
Put me in his article, so.
Yeah.
You and your gay hat.
Yeah,
I've got a rainbow hat.
It's pretty gay.
I love that hat.
It is gay and festive.
It makes the best picture.
It's a cat in the hat hat. You know, there was a movement of funk rock in San Francisco for a couple years, where all the bands were wearing that kind of cat in the hat stuff. I called it cat in the hat rock.
Cool.
Primus was kind of at the periphery of that, but it was more like bands that really try to sound like the Chili Peppers, but didn't do a very good job. And a few of them got signed. I can't even remember the names. But yeah, man, they all wore these funky, it was like this Alice in Wonderland rock, or, you know, Cat in the Hat rock. So that's what I think of when I see those, but they should come back, I think. I'm not a celebritarian. I am maintaining my amateur status so I can compete in the Liberty Olympics.
I don't know, man. There were a lot of people at your shows at Porkfest.
Well, 30, but it was also in the middle of the night. Getting 30 people, that's, you know, who's awake?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah,
and some it's more the, punk rock to not be a celebritarian, though, right?
Well, it kind of is. I mean, ones that you know, I have friends that play in bands that, you know, play to 2,000-3,000 people, but none of them have a true story that their drummer threw up on the stage of CBGB's after shooting heroin while Joey Ramone was in the room without missing a beat. You know, the punk rock is things happen in the smallest rooms. And some of the shows that people still like write me and talk about too are the ones that got closed down by the cops after like three songs. People remember those shows more than the ones where you played three encores, you know? So
nice.
So we're going to talk about net neutrality, but that's really like, you know, if you don't know, net neutrality is a bad idea. It's a scam to take your internets and control them more, no matter what they tell you. And Barack Obama is a liar. He's a socialist and his feet stink. And net neutrality was first proposed by Al Gore in the 80s, along with as part of a bill where he wanted to outlaw encryption. The bill failed. And if that bill had passed, Bitcoin never would have come around because, you know, people wouldn't have spread it with breaking, you know, now it would live if it was outlawed, but it wouldn't have spread probably if it was illegal to spread it when it started. So if you want net neutrality and you like Bitcoin, you're insane. That's what I think. And
yeah,
Barack Obama is a socialist.
It sounds to me like
his feet stink, man. His feet stink.
They sure do. I can smell them from here.
Worms. Yeah.
It sounds to me like net neutrality is the government saying, well, we created the internet for us, and then all you freedom people started using it for your purposes, and we don't like that, so we need to control it again. How do we put the Pandora's box? How do we put all these ghosts back into it? Well, one way would be to give people a bunch of free things,
Trojan horse services. They're using a Trojan horse. Yeah.
And then, trying to make it look good, but it's
you know, the funniest backers of net neutrality, the most ridiculous I've seen, are people who are into, like, torrenting movies illegally. You know, like, oh, I never pay for movies. I download them. That kind of people. They're mad because, like, their local ISP, you know, cripples their BitTorrent traffic. Does anyone think they're going to be able to, like, legally torrent movies using, you know, government ISP.gov's version of the internet? No way, man. And, you know, another thing, too, is
I trust in the geeks. I mean, even if this does come to pass, the geeks will continue to push for as much freedom as possible online. And there's always going to be that outlet.
But you know what they might?
There's people working on alternative internet projects.
You guys always say that, but it'd be better if they didn't have to spend all their energy building tunnels around it. You know, you can't build the flying cars when you're building the tunnels around it. And as someone who like works daily with a geek who's building the roads, you know, it's a lot of work, man. And people don't necessarily want to chip in on it. So if you want to help Fiendphone, go to fiendphone.com and contribute Bitcoin or, go on the Indiegogo. Ian Freeman did, and it helped get it off the ground, man. Thank you.
That's what I'm here for.
Yep. That's what you're here for, is to hand out Bitcoin to people who have an idea. I have a lot of ideas, if that's your reason to be. I'm kidding.
Always happy to hear a pitch.
No, it was a good one. It was worth it. It was, you know, So
get behind John Bush this week with the Liberty Beat, doing a little sponsorship for the Free State Project as they're going to be covering the Silk Road trial with Ross Ulbricht back from New York City. So I'm excited about
that. Do you remember when that that producer for reality TV contacted me and wanted to put me on and I wasn't interested, but I gave her your number and John Bush's number? Or Kat and John Bush's number and Derek J's number. Did she ever follow up with you guys? Is anything happening from that?
She did. Yeah. Yeah, but nothing's come out of it, as is the case with a number of these people.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, you're crazy.
Like, we've even had documentary people come up and shoot like a sizzle reel here in town, and you know, no network has bit, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, the problem is you're either too crazy for them or probably not crazy enough for them. You know, if you were
just feds, they're feds in disguise. Like, tell us everything.
They're just measuring they just want to see how much net neutrality you want. Here, have some government. They're just spies with their meters. Their light meters are really like internet meters.
And editing's never going to work in your favor, especially with reality TV. I mean, they purposely chop stuff up to make it look as worse as bad as they possibly can. So
what? Ian's, doesn't bother me.
Ian's fine with that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That, I mean, if you're fine with that, you're fine with it.
Ian's fine with that, and I'm not, which is where I did about 7 episodes about this, and Ian did 12 or 14. So that's we've agreed to disagree on that one, but... I never said don't do it. I just said I don't want to do it. You know, if I believe don't do it, I wouldn't give her my friend's phone numbers. You know,
no, I don't think it can. I mean, I'm also kind of. I think I would agree with Ian on this. You know, I don't even think that if you would put something out there publicly, it would hurt the movement at all. I mean, I don't believe in that really. I think that's kind of a ridiculous argument to not go on TV. Like, go on TV if you want to, but just you know. I wouldn't want to personally, just because I would be concerned with the editing and stuff. But by all means, you know, if people get the opportunity, you know, take it.
Hey, MK, did you see Josie Wales' article that almost seems like a follow-up to your libertarian welfare queens one?
I did. I thought it was pretty funny.
I thought so too, man.
I really liked it. I like how she kept it short and sweet and really funny. Yep. You know, that's the key if you're going to be doing comedy type stuff. I liked it. I thought she hit the nail on the head. And, you know, I'd like to see more humor.
Brevity is the soul of wit.
I'd like to see more humorous takes. Yeah, yep. Absolutely.
Yep.
So, I don't know. Wit calls Free Talk Live all the time, and he is anything but brief.
Well, you let him on, man. That's, you know, the wit debate has raged for years, and you guys have, you know, you're asking for it the way you let him on the air. That's what I'm saying. But
I know you're talking totally about. Asking he for left it. A bunch of comments on that article, the Libertarian Welfare Queens one. I think he was a guy who called in that same night, and he jumped on and left a bunch of comments, and I was really? Like. I just, I approve all the comments.
I stopped taking,
but I thought it was interesting.
I stopped taking phone calls on this show because of Wit calling into Free Talk Live.
Oh, wow.
That was my reaction. I was not just him, but I was kind of like, you know, we took calls for a while and some of them were useful and some of them were, a lot of them were people, because a lot of the stations were on delayed, you know, we're not live. So a lot of them were people just calling the call-in number on GCN because either they are people who want to get on the air and will just call whoever's on GCN at the time, or they're people who are like in their local town, you know, the flower horticulture show is playing live and they think that's us and they call GCN, you know, like during our show later.
Sometimes that's fun though. Sometimes it's interesting somebody who's calling a different show.
Ben answered one. Somebody called and asked about like rose rot and Ben has grown roses and he actually answered. Ben Stone answered her question. It's pretty funny.
It's funny you asked.
I was about to say some of the co-hosts might know something about gardening. So yeah that makes sense.
I'd like to see a radio version of hell banning, which Michael has described on websites. Yeah. Not letting trolls know that they're being heard. So
you could do that.
That would be great. Like for Wit. Yeah. Just like have a pre-recorded conversation ready for him. Like you're on Wit. And then he's talking to nobody.
It would work with Wit. It would work. It would work with Wit because he doesn't respond to whatever you say anyway. You know, you could have like, tell me more about that. Why do you do that? What do you think about that? Whit, why are you saying the same thing over and over and over? And then thank you for your call. Click. All you need is like five phrases.
And a soundboard.
When Whit calls, you could have a mix minus set up and just like send him over to another computer and he could be screaming at it and not put it out on air, man.
It's brilliant. You should do that.
You could actually do it live with like, you know, if you have three co-hosts, you could like one could go in the other room and argue with him or something. It'd be funny. Yeah, there's this thing called hell banning. Do you know about that, Ian?
No.
It's used on a lot of like tech hacker kind of forums. It's basically where they ban you, but you still see your posts show on the site, but you're the only person that can see them.
Oh, okay.
It's kind of like mind.
So it's a mind F.
It's a mind F to trolls. Yeah. And it's pretty funny.
Nice.
Yeah.
I want to know how many of your teeth are falling out. I've never had this dream. Apparently, it's one of the five most common
dreams.
It's
quite a few during the dream. It seems like most of the teeth that I would touch would fall out.
Yeah,
usually the fronts.
Yeah. Do you have to tap them? Do they get hit
usually
by something?
You're touching them with your tongue, in my case, and they just come right out.
On other shows, that'd be called a tangent or a non sequitur. On the Freedom Fiends, that's a segue. So go on.
Have you ever had one of these, Michael Dean? Your teeth dreams?
No, I have. Yeah, I guess these are all kind of like failure dreams, like, you know, being naked in school, or, you know, Derek's dream about trying to get on the radio when he has a show to do. I call those failure dreams. I don't have failure dreams very often these days because I feel like I'm really successful, I guess, and you guys are a bunch of losers. No, I'm kidding. You know, I think failure dreams are based on just kind of fears that everybody has. I never have nightmares, like dreams I wake up from and I'm like, oh, I can't get back to sleep, that's horrible, I'm so glad that was real. But every single night I have weird, dark, twisted, like, I often wake myself up from them. I guess I'm not a lucid dreamer, but often I will wake myself up if it gets too scary. And then I'll just get up and get on the computer for a while, have a little something to eat, and then go back to bed and feel fine, you know? But every night, almost every night, it's hard to be me, man. We'll be back on the 600th episode of the Freedom Fiends. Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
That happens to me a lot.
Oh my goodness.
That's a common dream for me.
I'm taping.
And are you trying to plunge the toilet during this dream?
No. I have to use the toilet and I can't use it because, like, this is occupied.
Did Ian say we should talk about this on the radio? We should not. Yeah.
I think it's interesting.
Well, Ian,
you agree?
Ian follows Howard Stern's ranking, so yeah.
Well, we're getting dangerously close to excretory functions, but you just have to be careful.
I don't know. Isn't a toilet like...
Can you say you have to relieve yourself?
Yes. You just have to be careful. I mean...
According to Ian, you can say poop, not poop in his mouth, and you have to avoid prurient things or appeal to the lowest common denominator. Did I ever tell you, Ian, when we were getting on radio and you told me that, and I wrote that down, I have that actually up on my corkboard here with everything you can't say. And I sent it to Nima Vidotti, and he said, you have to avoid prurient things or appeal to the lowest common denominator. Isn't that like the mission statement of talk radio, to do those things?
Right.
Isn't that the business plan?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a very nebulous definition the FCC has.
How's your rating? How's your internets on your Comrex looking there, Ian? Because I've heard
It looks pretty good so far. I mean, you never know with the internet. I mean, I don't know where the problems lie. They could be anywhere along the path to Minnesota. That's the problem with the internet. But the ISDN line's been acting up here recently, too.
How long are you going to keep using the ISDN line?
Long as I can. It's worth the $70 a month, in my opinion.
Oh, it's not by the minute anymore?
Well, GCN actually pays the per-minute fees.
So they're paying per-minute fees right
thanks
now?
Thanks to Ted.
On Sundays?
They're not using the ISDN at the moment.
Oh, you're using the Comrex, right?
He's on Comrex. They could use ISDN.
Comrex uses ISDN. It can use ISDN, right? Yours?
No, the Comrex. Well, the Comrex. Okay, first of all, the ISDN is a Comrex, and the Comrex Access is not an ISDN codec. It does have plain old telephone service, POTS. So we could always, if the internet's really bad, we can connect over a phone line with the Comrex Access.
Yeah.
And there's no way to know when the internet's going to be good or not.
Under net neutrality, you'll know it's always pretty bad, but probably like an equal amount of pretty bad. Psycho
Funkopus. I'm playing with the illegal magnets.
Oh, those, yeah, that's illegal. Psycho Funkopus. Google images that, Ian.
I'm not in front of a terminal. I can't.
Okay. That was one
I'm just literally sitting here.
That was one of the Cat in the Hat bands, and we're back. We're on radio.
Meow. Meow. Meow.
Meow.
Meow.
Meow.
Meow.
Meow.
So, Ian Freeman, lie back on the couch and tell me about your dreams.
You know what? It's hard to remember dreams, at least for me, because I don't write them down afterwards. But yeah, I mean, I've had a few of those teeth losing dreams, and they're kind of disturbing. Thankfully, I don't have nightmares, really. I mean, very, very rarely will I have a disturbing dream besides that.
You watch a lot of horror, though.
Not really. No. I mean, I've watched horror movies.
I hear a lot of screaming. Coming from the TVs,
it's probably Grand Theft Auto.
He's murdering Russian prostitutes on the screen, not in his room. Yeah, make that clear.
So, what do we have? A list of common scary dreams, or something?
Yeah, five most common recurring dreams.
I want to preface this with saying that I don't believe in dream analysis very much. I'm of the camp that I think dreams are just kind of like the digital detritus in your brain at the end of the day, and it's just kind of like sorting your brain back together for another day of computing. I don't think they mean much.
Oh, come on. You don't think there's some like meaning to it because your mind is well, working on these problems?
Only that if you like, only if you have failure dreams, you're probably a loser.
Hey, Derek, you said that you quit cannabis and that you noticed that you were able to remember your dreams.
Yeah,
after that.
That's something I've noticed before.
I was going to say, you went to jail. Yep. Did you experience the same thing at that time?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did. So, yeah, it's just one of the effects I've noticed because I always...
You said, did you bring marijuana into a courthouse?
Who? Huh?
You said you had pot at the Ross Ulbricht trial, but then you lost it. Did you lose it in the courtroom?
Thankfully, I did not lose it inside the courtroom. I didn't go inside the federal building. I don't go into those places.
I consider
government property, government property, and I don't consider it public property. Like, I'm allowed to be here. This is the king's house, and I'm not going to go in it because I'm a propertarian. Like, I don't want them on my property, and I won't go on their property.
Cool.
So that's sort of how I do it. And Lynn Ulbricht was a little weirded out by that, the mother of Ross Ulbricht.
That you wouldn't
go
in?
Well, yeah, because she asked me not to do the protesting that I was doing outside the courthouse because they threatened to do bad things to the jury and make them fear for their lives. And so she was like, please don't do that anymore. But you can attend the trial. And I was like, actually, no, I won't do that because I don't go into those buildings. And she just gave me those like weird puppy dog
Yeah, but I gotta say she's a trooper, man. I mean, a lot of mothers wouldn't back their kid in something like this. They're you know, adult kid in this. And she was at Porkfest. I talked to her a little bit.
No, I'm not putting her down.
Yeah, but I want to make it clear that we're not putting her down and that we're on her side. I'm on her
side.
Yeah,
definitely I'm on her side. I just don't want to go into the government building. That's the only thing. And there were plenty of people covering the trial anyway. What's another person sitting in the courtroom going to do? And besides, the courtroom was all filled with journalists, so adding another body, you're only going to go into the overflow room. They had like a projector screen up in another courtroom.
It's the free speech zone for the press. Yeah.
Yeah, but good story about that. The press was, it was so filled that some of the men in suits and their little notepads were sitting on the floor in these courtrooms. Yeah, and even in the overflow room. So Michelle Seven, another activist who goes by Bitcoin Bell on Twitter, she was attending in one of the overflow rooms, saw no seats, walked past the bar up where the defense table would be sitting, and sat in their comfy leather chair. The bailiff comes over with his little microphone in his wrist, like, hey, miss, you can't do that. He's talking to the bailiffs upstairs, you know, hey, we got a woman here sitting, but she went past the defense table, blah, 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 blah. And she doesn't budge. She crosses her legs, leans back, and opens up a bag lunch. Just starts eating.
Awesome. Oh, yes.
Hey, that was pretty cool.
You guys go to courtrooms a lot, and you wear a suit sometimes when you're not on trial. I know Derek does. Do you ever do that, Ian?
No.
Do you, Derek?
Yeah, I love to dress up for court. It's church.
Have you ever had anybody, when you're wearing a suit at court and you're not on trial, have you ever had, like, a desperate person come up to you and think you're an attorney and try to plead their case to them? I've had that happen.
Yeah.
Last time I went to a courtroom, I think other than being a bike messenger and having to deliver something during a court, which I've done, but it was a long time ago. And it was the Dead Kennedys trial in San Francisco when the band was suing the singer for screwing them out of their royalties, which, I think they had a good case, like not even from a copyright issue, but from a units of plastic, round plastic sold, you know, and they had a 2-week jury trial. Like, you know, the singer would not settle out of court, but I went in a suit and I went 4 days and I was covering it for my blog back before there was blogging software. And, a couple people came up to me and thought I was an attorney, like, you got to represent me pro bono. And I want to sue the voices in my head. And yeah. And I write my name in all caps. All right.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Now that the elections are...
Is your child defiant, independent, annoyingly inquisitive? After a long, hard day of following the rules, who wants to deal with troublesome kids? 49% of children suffer from oppositional defiant disorder, or ODD. Symptoms of ODD include independent thought, rampant creativity, and failure to submit to authority. But now there's a solution. The good people at Pilfer can help you with their time-release, once-daily capsule, Compliacin. Your child won't be able to form his own opinions, let alone express them. It maintains your child's ability to go to a state-run school and perform simple tasks around the house. You won't have to worry about parenting, and the school won't have to deal with your kid asking questions. Compliacin. You'll go from this.
Quit telling me what to do!
To this.
Good morning, Mother. I love going to school. And this week we're learning all about how the government is our federal family and they're here to help us.
Compliacin. Talk to your school psychiatrist and ask for it by name.
Close all the time.
I'm taping now.
Okay.
The Libertarian NSA has begun taping.
All right.
Yeah. That's what Mark Edge calls me.
The Libertarian NSA. You're taping all the time.
Yeah.
Do you have any dreams you want to talk about when we come back, MK?
Yes, I'm going to talk about the strangest dream series I had right after Porkfest this past year.
Ooh, all right.
I had dreams reliving Bitcoin in the Beltway and Porkfest day by day, each night, going into the same super long 2-week dream. It was ridiculous. And it's never happened since, and it's never happened. I'd had series of dreams before. Do you ever have like episodes of dreams, like episodic dreams, like you dream same characters one night and then like the next night or like a couple nights later, it's like kind of same scenario
these
again,
but
slightly different plot, but like same characters. Yeah. It was like that, but it was like real people who I'd just been hanging out with at Beltway and Porkfest and weird. It was really weird.
Ian just reminded me by bringing up the thing about jail and how I wasn't consuming cannabis there. the worst part of having dreams in jail was that I guess it's a mixed blessing. Yeah, exactly. Because I would be in my real life out, you know, when I was dreaming. I wasn't dreaming of being in jail. I was doing things and seeing my friends. And then you wake up and the hard reality of the hard bed and the white walls. And it's just, I'm locked in this cage right now. I mean, you can't even get breakfast. You could see the breakfast out there, out your window, and it feels so much like a monkey in a cage. Like, there's my banana. Let me. When are you gonna let me get it? Can I have it?
Damn.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's better than a banana.
Could have been worse. You could have been in jail in Florida.
Mm. Yeah, I hear actually that the jail I went to is pretty good, all things considered.
Here you get a peanut butter jelly sandwich.
855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
Meow. 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 Meow.
You sounded pretty good there, Derek J, for a guy who is vomiting into his hat 2 hours ago.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah.
No longer pregnant.
The healing, your teenage hysterical pregnancy has ended. there's you guys want to talk about dreams, huh? That's the thing here.
Yeah,
on the
how about alarm clock dreams?
Yeah.
Anybody
what
ever
is that?
Had,
What's
like,
that?
Okay, so I've had dreams in the past where my alarm clock will be going off if it was like the old klaxon style alarm.
Do you ever wake up to an alarm? I don't.
Sure. Really? But this sometimes it'll integrate into the dream. So wherever I am in the dream, this like alarm starts going off.
Oh,
this like
no.
klaxon in this building, and I'm running around looking for a way to shut it off.
But you can't,
and
right?
I can't shut it off
because it's really an alarm clock, right?
I've had those dreams before too. Yeah,
I'm irritated
because you sleep through it.
I'm irritated with how many movies begin with someone sleeping and an alarm clock going off really loudly. Have you noticed that? It's almost like it's almost a cliche of lazy writing. Like, let's see, okay, I'm writing about this man and his strange day. Well, I guess I should start with the alarm clock going off. You know. Come on, man. It's been done. I just hate the sound of alarm clocks. So
another really common dream, according to this article, is your mate is cheating on you. I've never had that. Mm. Is that common? You guys had that?
Nope.
I've had that one. Yeah, Joseph and I both have. Joseph's my husband. And it makes for weird conversations the next day. It's like, why is like the dream version of you not cool, man? Like, what's up with that? But apparently, like, Dream Megan is like a terrible person, too. So it's really like, these don't happen a lot, but like, whenever we dream about the other one, sometimes it'll be good dreams, and sometimes it'll be like, why were you doing that crazy stuff in my dreams last night?
I don't know. That would hurt my feelings. You know, like, even if it's the dream mate, like, why did you do that? You know,
right.
It's almost like the real person did it.
Yeah,
and you don't want to be mad at them because they weren't actually in the dream.
Yeah,
you know?
Or were they?
I don't usually dream about people I know. I think this is different than most people. Most of the dreams I have are either compilation people of people I know, and also a lot of compilation places. I'll turn the corner in where I live now, and I'll, you know, be in the town I grew up in, or and then the school will be like, you know, a school from a different state I lived in or something. But, and I don't have the dream of being naked at school, but I still have a recurring dream sometimes that it's 2 weeks before graduation and I'm at the boarding school that I went to, and I just walk off and like hitchhike away on the highway and just, like, I'm done with school, you know, which is weird.
Yeah,
because
I've had back at school dreams.
I didn't even graduate from there. I got kicked out after 11th grade and then went to college and got a high school diploma through college when I was 17. So maybe it's related to that, but I don't know. I certainly I don't have any failure dream feelings about having not properly finished high school. I'm pretty proud of it.
I'll have the dreams, and they've changed over the years. Now when I have school dreams, I'm like having the dream and I'm like, why am I doing this again? I don't have to do this, and I just walk out of it instead of feeling like compelled, like, oh, I didn't study for this test. And you know,
I'm also more likely to have people who are real in my dreams that are from many years or decades ago that were not important in my life than I am to have people that are important in my life now. You guys ever
have
that?
Ever had a dream about someone and then had them, like, saw them the next day, like someone you hadn't seen in years and maybe were never close with? This has happened to me several times.
What, just a random person?
Yeah, like I literally haven't thought about, maybe I went to school with them or something, and then like the next day or within the next few weeks, I'll randomly see them in public or something.
It also happens in the waking world as well, where you can essentially summon someone by talking about them and, you know, haven't talked about them or seen them in years, and then all of a sudden, you know, they show up.
Yeah, I've experienced that.
Whenever I've talked about Chris Cantwell on the radio, all of a sudden he like shows up and wants to talk to me. I've noticed that. Is that what you mean?
I've learned there are tricky ways to, you mentioned the waking world. One of the ways that I tell whether or not I'm in the waking world or the dream world is looking at an alarm clock or a digital clock.
Yeah, a lot of times, in the dream world.
They're messed up or the time will change. Yeah, a really
anything
small
you
print.
Can read.
Yeah. Well, yes.
Before Chris Cantwell decides to contact me, I want to make it clear that was a joke. He used to do that years ago. Like if Nima Vadadi and I mentioned him, he would like challenge me, like come on the website and say, you should have me on and debate me. And I'm like, dude, listen to the episode. We mentioned you in passing and didn't even say anything bad about you, which was, you know, probably the beginning of us saying bad things about him. But no, he does not appear. He blocked me on his Facebook and now he just talks about me behind my back. But I'm actually on his Facebook. He doesn't know it. I have a sock puppet like him. He has many. I have one.
But the strangest series of dreams, I wanted to tell you guys about this because you all were at Porkfest. Yeah. And
Pokefest?
Ian, Pokefest. Porkfest. So were you at Bitcoin in the Beltway, Ian?
No, I thankfully haven't been to D.C. in quite a long time.
Ugh, I know. So I organized this conference in D.C. It was Bitcoin in the Beltway. And yeah, it was scary. It was in D.C. And then we had Porkfest right afterwards. I was a little stressed, so I didn't sleep much at all during the conference. And then I didn't sleep much at all for Porkfest. So I think my dreams are a lot of, you know, I dream to catch up with what happened during the day and kind of process some of the stress. So the conference was kind of stressful for me being on the organizing side. I didn't get that fully resolved. I didn't sleep at all that weekend. And then we did Porkfest and didn't sleep much then. As the day I got back to Pensacola from New Hampshire, I started dreaming that night that I was going back up to D.C. to start the Bitcoin and the Beltway conference. And for 2 weeks straight, the exact time it took me to travel to D.C. and New Hampshire, I had dreams in sequence about Bitcoin and the Beltway and then Porkfest, reliving each day.
Wow.
Oh, no.
And it wasn't exactly what it was like.
Day, exactly.
It was actually, it started off way worse. Like the conference part was way worse. It was like way more things were going wrong than actually happened. Yeah. Everything's going wrong. And it kind of mellowed out towards the end of the 2 weeks, like it, you know, because I was back in Porkfest and it was pretty cool. And it even ended, like, my last dream was me driving back to Pensacola from New Hampshire. And it, like, every night, like, I woke up where I left off in the dream before. It's crazy.
Bitcoin,
the website doesn't list this one, but I want to know how alone I am in this, the unable to scream dream. Have you ever been like, oh man,
my favorite.
Like I'm being chased or there's someone axe murderer coming to get me or something and I need to let someone know. And I let out a scream, like I open my mouth and no sound comes out.
No, I've never had that
and
one.
I'm completely trapped. I'm going to die.
That's my least favorite one. I hate it.
There's a gun version of the Naked in School one. Nima Vadadi told me on a show a long time ago that he used to have this one, and I had this one the same week. It was kind of weird. I've never had it since. But basically, you're in a self-defense situation, and your gun doesn't work.
Oh.
With me,
like
it was
just click?
With me, it was a bear. With him, it was a person. Yeah. Hmm. And I don't remember the details. Like, I think with him, it was like he had the wrong size mag for a different caliber, and it wouldn't fit, and I couldn't get to mine, or, you know, I couldn't unsnap it or something. Something just it didn't work.
Wow. So this is why I just don't buy your thing about, oh, it's just the brain decompressing. Like, yeah, it is partially actually that, but also I think our brains are also trying to tell us something in our subconscious, like you're not prepared. You know, the your wrong mag is in your gun.
I'm sure a government therapist would tell you that means you need to get rid of your guns.
Yeah, I guess people would interpret it different ways, but it sounds like an unprepared dream.
The thing is, though, the reason I don't personally think that there's much dream interpretation, at least with my dreams, is that they never seem to correspond with what is going on. Like if I'm having, you know, failure dreams, it's not usually when I'm having failure.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily when things are going terribly, remarkably well either. It's not like I'm afraid of failure. They just seem random. Dream analysis has largely been discredited too, which is why, why it's kind of weird to me that Molyneux like lives and dies by it. You know, like he does it. He has people call in and analyzes their dreams. And most modern psychotherapists don't do much with that anymore, and it's kind of been discredited.
Yeah, in regard to dreams, I mean, I think it could be a little bit of both. Maybe there is some kind of subconscious signaling there, or maybe it's just a bit of a process. But I have noticed that when I'm very stressed out, I do tend to have nightmares more often, and to the point where it's actually really, really stressful. I have a hard time sleeping because they feel so real. But that's only if I'm really, really stressed out. And when I stop, you know, feeling the stress and I kind of calm down more, I'll still have really weird, creepy dreams, but they don't have that nightmarish quality to them.
Yeah.
Now that I'm remembering the dreams, I'm going to embark on a new project to get really good at lucid dreaming, fly all around, write new versions of Fiend Phone. I'll do it all.
Okay. Nice. Awesome.
I want to talk about this God and Country poster that got pulled by the Army.
All right.
There's a poster that Free Talk Live posted that said, "Oh, it's only religious extremism when the enemy does it." And they had this poster of outside a recruiting office in Phoenix of army patches, and the poster said, "On a mission for both God and country." And this like upset a lot of people, but the army pulled it like within hours. And now they're talking about it months later because of this group, the Military Religious Freedom Foundation. And I think that's awesome, because when do you see examples of the government or the military backtracking on overstepping their bounds and being held in check?
Well, every now and then. The recruiting offices specifically have been busted before for, you know, lying to potential recruits and have been outed for that. And usually the worst that happens is they get a written reprimand, a memo goes out to the whatever agents are running those offices, and tisk tisk, don't get caught next time.
I've seen that same slogan, you know, it's okay when America does it. It's, you know, or it's not when terrorists do it or whatever, something like that. On that same thing on a meme going around of that poster for the movie that's out now called American Sniper. Mm-hmm. And it's that movie side by side with literally a German Nazi movie from World War II that was praising some Nazi sniper, like side by side. That movie looks really horrific to me. It really looks, I don't have any desire to like deify and sanctify some guy whose job was being told.
Mark
Edge
says it wasn't like that. Okay. He said he saw it.
Go see Shooter. Go see Shooter with Mark Wahlberg instead.
That was great.
That is amazing. I can't believe that movie got made. He basically shoots Dick Cheney in the back in it, and he's the
Whoa.
Hero. Well, it's.
Wow.
I think we need to qualify that when we get back.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations, and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Meow, meow.
This is the Freedom Fiends 600th episode, and we got Ian Freeman, Derek J. Freeman, MK Fiendman, and Michael Fiendman, MK Lords and Michael Dean. So Derek wanted to know why I was I went when he said he wanted to talk about this poster.
I know why. Well, I owe you an apology. I brought the army to Michael's party.
You did. And I forgot to record. I was being a bad libertarian NSA, and I forgot to record that segment between breaks there, during the break there. So yeah, we got to explain it to the audience. So yeah, man, I mean, like, this is kind of the libertarian ANCAP show where we don't talk about politics much, and we do sometimes. And generally Derek will do more than that on the Sunday shows, which is good, but someone's got to do it. But yeah, man, it's a party. You brought the army to my party.
Sorry, man.
I guess I got to explain what I said. I'm not threatening Dick Cheney, and I want to make that clear. He's my neighbor. We live in the same state. He actually grew up in a house 8 blocks from where I'm sitting. Here's something kind of disgusting. A lot of restaurants that you go into in this town, and almost any law firm you go into in this town, there is a framed photo on the wall of Dick Cheney with his shaking hands with the proprietor.
Yeah, no, that's horrifying.
Yeah. Wow. And there are at least two Halliburton trucks parked on my street right now on this block that say Halliburton on them. It's everywhere, man. That runs this state.
Wow, I've never seen that up here in New Hampshire.
Oh yeah, most places in San Francisco, a Halliburton car would get its tires slashed. Here, it's like everyone works for Halliburton, you know.
There's a guy who owns a cigar shop and a framing store who does not like the Liberty activists. And apparently in his store, I've never been inside it, so somebody told me this, that he has a bunch of pictures of like Civil War pictures with the Union, you know, kind of just like a big Union guy. Like he's really into the Civil War from the Union side and like, you know, kill the South, that kind of thing. Yuck.
Well, down here we have like South Will Rise Again bumper stickers, and they call it the War of Northern Aggression in some parts.
And think about people who are like still fighting that war in their mind based on where they were born or live. I mean, that's,
it's nuts.
It's nationalism for like something that isn't even around anymore. But so I want to explain the comment I made when we went to the break. I said, like, oh yeah, you should check out the movie Shooter, man. That's a weird movie. It's better than American Sniper, and I haven't seen American Sniper, but and you know, the hero shoots Dick Cheney in the back. So it's not okay, spoiler alert, but it's a movie with Mark Wahlberg, came out a bunch of years ago. I'm pretty surprised it got made by Hollywood after 9/11, because it's pretty much like an army sniper vet, you know, who's like back in civilian life, who all of a sudden the government's trying to kill him. And he's trying to clear his name and, like, you know, kill government officials at the same time. And he's the hero. So it's pretty bizarre that it was made. And he's from Wyoming in it. He lives in Wyoming in it. And he ends up, like, one of his arch enemies in this is this senator. They made him from Montana because it'd be too obvious if it was Wyoming. And Cheney was a senator in Wyoming before he was vice president. And he looks exactly like Cheney, man. You didn't pick up on that? I mean, he could play Cheney. That guy could play Cheney in a movie and probably will or has, but that actor looks like Cheney, and he's a senator from Montana. And, at some point in the movie, Wahlberg's character shoots him, I think in the back, maybe in the front, I don't remember, and then blows up his house with propane tanks.
I got a relevant quote from Oscar Wilde. He said, "Hear no evil, speak no evil, and you'll never be invited to a party."
There you go, man. How did you find that? Had you heard that before?
Honestly, I had that quote prepared for today's episode, and I didn't even plan on ruining the party by bringing up evil.
No, so Shooter was good. So is Enemy at the Gates. Have you seen that one?
Is that the World War II Mosin Nagant one? About the sniper?
Yeah, it's about the Russian sniper in World War II.
Yeah, he uses the Mosin Nagant, which was the battle rifle. Those are great. You should get those if anybody wants guns. They're They're rifles that can, they're not terribly accurate at 1,000 yards, but you can kill a deer-sized mammal at 1,000 yards with them. And they cost like $60 to $150. They're amazing pieces of, and you can actually, I actually own two of them that were used to kill actual Nazis. That's kind of a weird thing. Kind of cool.
Good point to end.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Don't kill your local Nazis. Love them. That's what Ian Freeman would say, wouldn't you?
Forgiveness, man. Forgiveness.
Yep, forgiveness. Well, thanks for coming on the 600th show of the Freedom Fiends, y'all.
Worms.
It's been a wormtastic time.
Thanks for having me.
Ian always says he'll come on for one episode, one segment, and stays on for the whole show. I like that. Ian likes radio.
Yay.
It's a good thing. Thank you for your service. Thanks, Ian, for helping get us on radio. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Derek J, for doing a show when you were vomiting. And MK, thanks for just being you.
He's a pro.
As usual. You rock.
Worms.
Worms. All right.
Did you know by age 50, half
thank you,
all
Nathan.
Men
thank you for your service.
Prostate. Thanks, Nathan.
You got it, kids. Great show. Kids. I like dreams. Keep dreaming.
Keep dreaming. There's the episode title, maybe.
Keep good dreaming.
All right.
Good night, Nathan. Disconnecting.
He's like mid-sentence. All right. Bear. I'm going to disconnect to you. Thanks a lot for doing this, y'all, and I will get it up and send you links.
Awesome. Good luck. Good talking with all of you guys.
Yep.
Good night.
Worms.
Good night.
Good night.
How do I do this?